This is HPR episode 2733 entitled, Writing Web Game in Haskell, News, and Notifications. It is hosted by Tuku Toroto, and is about 47 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, Tutoto talks about the game they're writing in Haskell, and convoluted news system they made.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, I'm Tuukka Turto, Tuturto for a short, and you are listening to Hacker Public Radio. This episode is about making a game in Haskell. This time I will be focusing on news and notifications. This part actually took quite a lot of duck shaving, and in the end turned out to be pretty complex. Even while writing show notes, I spotted at least one corner where code could be simplified, so I did go and simplify that before recording the episode. I'm not entirely happy how complex this thing turned out to be in the end, but I also couldn't find any simpler way. And I'm mostly concentrating on the server-side implementation because client-side isn't that interesting, in my opinion. So, what are the news and the notifications? In this case, they are messages that the players will receive when something noteworthy has happened in the game. It might be that a new planet has been discovered, construction project has been finished, we have encountered a new civilization, or something like that. Something noteworthy to the players. And it's also possible for players to write public messages to all members of their faction. For example, if they want to communicate that there's some good location where everybody should be, or most should be heading to mine minerals, for example, or if they want to coordinate some other faction-wide actions. I could have implemented this whole thing by just sending back and forth messages as strings, and that would have made things a lot easier and a lot simpler, and I would have been done with this ages ago. But I wanted a system where entities are hyperlinked. So if you are viewing a news about discovery of a new planet, there will be a hyperlink in the message to one that you can click to actually take you to that planet, and another one that you can click to view the star system where it was found. Because as the size of the game grows and there are more things going on, hyperlinking news to entities they are about makes things much easier. Like for example, if you have say 1,000 planets, and then you get a message that one of those planets has a severe case of flu pandemia, it's much easier than if you can just click at the news and view the planet and then start dealing with that pandemic. Instead of that, you have to go to some display and then search for the planet and sort things and then try to find out. So links were mandatory. Okay, I could have also sent the plain HTML from the server side, but this would have tied the client and the server and the database too closely together, and I wanted to avoid that. I'm writing quite a bit of code and definitions on the show notes, so if you have a chance, it might be a good idea to pull those up and follow along as I explain what I have been doing here. So there's a on the server, there's server and client communicates with over REST API with sending messages consisting of mostly of JSON. And there's three new resources for the clients to interact on the server side. These are defined in the config/routes file. And first one is /api/message that handles get and post methods. Then there's a /api/message/hashtag news ID that handles delete. This is a resource that takes up. Well, these resources are in the server address /api/message/number of the message you want to delete. And then the third one is a /api/icon that handles get messages again. And this one is used to retrieve some icons that the client can use to display those news, because some of the news have configurable icons. Mainly the ones written by the users. There's a changing set of icons that can be used there. I will be focusing on the first one of these resources, /api/message, because that alone has quite a lot of things to talk about. Database, this thing is defined in the config/models file. For the news, there's only a single table, news, that also has the JSON attribute, meaning that you can easily serialize that back and forth. And it has four fields, content, function ID, date, and dismissed. The content is just the plain text field where I will be serializing the news. Faction ID is which faction this news concerns about, date is when it was posted, and dismissed tells if it has been read or not. This system means that when somebody in the faction says that, okay, I have read this news, I don't want to see it again, it will disappear from all of the members of the faction. This is suboptimal, but I haven't had time to write the better system where individual players could say that, okay, I have read this news. Okay, and the reason I'm serializing the news items into news articles into the JSON and storing JSON in the database is that there's really many kinds of different kinds of news, and if I wanted to have a relational database with fields to each and every of those different types of news, that would mean that either I would have one table that has really big amount of columns, and not all of those columns are used for each news entry, or I would have to have multiple tables, basically one table per news entry, and that would get also pretty complicated. So I tried to choose the least worst option here and decided that I will be serializing data into that content field. So then on the server side, because there are many kinds of messages, like I said, I will be concentrating particularly the one about discovering a new planet. Everything else, every other type of news works in the same way. Except user-written news, they have a slightly more complicated thingy, because users can choose what kind of icon to use each item they write. But that aside, it still works in the same as any other news entry. So all news articles are of same type, imaginatively called news article. And this means that when I add a new type of news article, I have to add a new value constructor. So there's a basically there's a single location where there's a list of all the possible news items. And all news articles have every different type of news have their own value constructor that takes a single parameter. And that single parameter is a specific type that contains all the information specific news. So, for example, our Planet Found has a parameter Planet Found News, and that Planet Found News is a record that has a planet name, system name, these are strings, then it has system ID, planet ID, these are keys into foreign keys in the database, and then it has the news date that tells when this planet was discovered. And so when the let's imagine we have data in the database already. I'm not going to go how to get it into there. It's not that complex. So given that we have our data in the database, how do we get that stuff into the from the database into the into these objects? Well, first we load a news object or news objects, depending on how many we want and what kind of query parameters we are using, and then we have to turn that string that is or text that is a JSON into a news article, and for that there's a parse news function that has a type of news to maybe news article. It is maybe news article because it might be that there has been an error and something has been written incorrectly into database. So this signals that the parsing may or may work, as usually is the case of the in with the JSON. And it's pretty dense. It's decode dot to lazy white string dot encode UTF-8 filter dot news content. And this is because of the ASON, the JSON library we are using, it's written, we have to jump through a couple hoops here. You cannot simply decode text. You have to have a lazy byte stream that has been encoded with the UTF-8. So there's a couple of extra steps for that reason. This is written in a point-free style. So if you have a function that has multiple steps and you have temporary values and you are not using those values more than once, like you are basically just doing step one and the result of that step one is fed to the step two and result of that step two is fed to the as a parameter to the step three, and those steps don't take any other parameters, you can simplify things and write a point free style. This essentially forms a pipeline. So, and you can read the dot in that definition as a of. So, parse news equals to decode of to lazy byte string of encode UTF builder of news content. So, basically, whatever news content produces is set to the encode UTF-8 filter, and what that produces is fed to the too lazy byte string, and whatever that produces is fed to the decode, and whatever that produces is the result of the parse news. There's also I'm not specifying a parameter to the parse news. This is because the parameter of the parse news is only used as a last parameter to the news content. So we can use eta reduction. This comes from the lambda calculus. The name or origin isn't important, but what is important is that you can omit that parameter. No need to write that up. The long you could write this whole thing out as a long form when it would be that parsing is news equals to let content equals to new content news, UTF-8 encoded equals to encode UTF-8 builder content being the result of the previous that, and byte string equals to lazy byte string UTF encoded in decode byte string. So which version to use is, in my opinion, just a matter of style and preference. One has to remember that while the in this case the point free style leads to pretty readable code, it you can get into the really messy looking and hard to read code if you're overusing that, especially if you're overusing that with a code where the point free style does not come naturally, but you have to do some tricks to get it working. So now we know how to parse when we have news, how to make that turn that into the news article. Similarly, there's two other functions that deal with entities. Entity is something that is stored into the database that has it's basically a tuple of a key and the value. So basically it's the key of that row and the row in the database and the values of that row turned into an object. And list of third function is for dealing with the list of entities. I'm not going to go through the implementation. They are pretty small. I'm sure anyone could figure out how to write those given it a little bit time. So one note, how the parse news entities function filters out all the news that it didn't manage to turn into news articles. So if you're loading a list of news from the database and then you are parsing the JSON data and turning them into the news articles, all those ones that couldn't be parsed are discarded. So the parse news entities function therefore has a type of list entity news to list of tuple containing key news and news article. So we end up with a list of tuples. The first item is the primary key of the row and the second item is the news article, the one that has been passed from the JSON and turned into a object. Okay, for that, in that parse news, there was decode function. We are calling decode function. That is something that comes with the JSON, and that requires that whatever we are parsing is capable of working with the JSON. It has to have an instance of a from JSON type class. So meaning that if you have some JSON and instance of from JSON type class, you can try to parse data into that object. And conversely, there's a to JSON type class that is that deals with turning a object into a JSON. And instead of writing these by hand, in this case, I relied on the template Haskell to generate it for us, because then I can just write $parentheses derived JSON space default options space to hyphens news article closing parent. This will instruct that during the compile time, the Haskell compiler will generate from and to JSON instances for the news article. And I'm happy with the default options because I'm just storing this into the database, loading it into the database. It will never leave the server, so I'm not that much concerned how the JSON actually looks like. If you wanted to optimize things, you could even turn each and every field into a single letter Unix in leather, of course, because that would save a little bit of space, but I don't think that makes a difference in this case. And it would obfuscate the JSON really terrible. It wouldn't be human readable at that point at all. So now we have news articles on the server side, but these aren't really, I mean, these are useful already, but these are not really useful for the players, because players need to be able to read these articles. So we need to turn them into the, surprise, surprise, JSON, and send them into the, over the wire to the client side. And here comes the first problem, the first big problem that I was fighting for quite a long time. Each type and type class instance form a unique pair. So you cannot have multiple declarations of the same type class for any type. Like if you, in our case, because we have to and from JSON instances defined for our news article, we cannot define new ones. So there are three options we can do here. We could say send the same data to client that gets stored in the database. And I didn't want to do this because it would tie the server and client and the database too tightly together. I could create a new type that is identical to the news article. It would basically just wrap the news article, and then I could define the to and from JSON instances for that new type. Or I could just declare a completely new type that has no relation whatsoever to these news articles, just copy data over there and then turn it into JSON and use that object for communicating with the client, basically a data transfer object. I went for the third option because it's the most flexible and allows us to have some extra data here, there, that is not present on the database but is derived from somewhere else. And this one part where quite a bit of complexity comes from. So first step is to define our data types. I'm concentrating on the client found use here again, but every other news work in the same way. So these are pretty much copies. So we had a news article data, so now we have news article DTO. And it has a value constructor star found DTO when on the earlier it was star found. And it has planet found DTO, and it has a single parameter planet found news DTO when it was planet found news earlier. And then the planet found news DTO is a record type that holds in this identical data to that planet found news. And in theory I could have extra data here already, but not in this particular case. So we need a way to move data between these real news articles and these DTO objects. And I decided to write a type class for that to generalize things. And this type class is written as a class, parents to JSON D, parent close, arrow to DTO, C, D, pipe, C, arrow, D, where, and then to DTO, double colon, C, arrow, D. That probably doesn't make much sense when heard over the audio. It might, if you have a chance, now would be a good time to check the show notes. Basically what this tells us is that we have a type class to DTO that takes two parameters, C and D. And the D parameter has to implement to JSON type class. It has to have an instance of to JSON type class, meaning that this whatever D is can be turned into the JSON. And it also tells that because it's a multi-parameter type class. It also tells that if you know the C, you automatically know the D, that the C is the what defines the D. And meaning that for any C, there's only one D. And it defines that there's a one function to DTO that takes one parameter C and produces a value of D. Pipe thingy at the end is the what declares that that the C defines the type of C defines the type of D is called a functional dependency. And without it, this compiler might or might not be able to deduce D depending on the context. So if the code that follows after the call to JSON doesn't use, for example, doesn't use the specific values of the or fields of the D. So if it's a very generic use, only using a some, for example, a type class functions defined in the type class, the compiler might not be able to deduce what the D is. So that's why I'm using a functional dependency here. I'm including a couple links into the show notes that talk more about this and explain it in more detail. So then just have to write instances to all of our news article and news article DTO types that define the instances of the to DTO. These basically are just copying over data from one side to the another. And I'm not going to read that out because it's a boring. It's just taking the planet name of the DTO equals to planet name of the news article, and the system name of the DTO equals to system name of the article, and just repeat. I'm fairly confident that if one would know template Haskell, they could just automate this part completely, but I don't know so I had to type it by hand. Okay, and the final step is that I wrap this up with a news DTO that has a common data that is common to all news articles. So here we have a primary key news DTO ID, and then we have the content. This is this is part where you put the, for example, Planet Found news DTO, and the icon as a text, because I didn't want to code on the client side hard code there that when we are showing a Planet Found news, we are using this icon. I'm going to give on this data that gets turned into the JSON a URL to icon that is specifically the news icon, news article, and then the client side can decide to use or not use that one. So how do we are getting these icons? So our DTO instance has answer to that. So instant of mapping from the tuple of key news and news article, we are mapping from a tuple where the first parameter is that key news article tuple, and the second parameter is an icon mapper news article DTO. And this icon mapper is something that knows how to tell that for any given news article DTO, this is the URL where you will find the icon that you can use to display it. And we are parameterizing the icon mapper because we might have another cases where we want to use the icon mapper. For example, the news that the user wrote, they probably have a different logic to figure out which icon to use. So with this one, the constructing of new DPO is basically just constructing a new DPO where we can say that the ID is the ID of that news article, the content is the content, and the news icon is run icon mapper icons content, because content is the DTO that in this case defines what kind of icon to use. So what is our icon mapper actually? This part I'm pretty happy. This turned out being pretty nice in my opinion. So icon mapper is a new type, meaning in this case it's a record of a one field. So new types can only have a one type parameter. One parameter to the Volvo constructor, or one parameter in if they are at record. And this record has a one field run icon mapper that is of type A to text, and this A comes from the parameter, from the type parameter of the icon mapper. So whatever type of the icon mapper we are having, we can use that type and turn it into the text, and then we just agree that text will be a link to the URL. For example, in the news article DTO, there's a case function there, a case structure there, saying that case article of planet found DTO arrow. So saying, meaning that when we are dealing with the planet found DTO, we are returning of the value render dollar static r images underscore news underscore planet underscore png. So this the way the Haskell ESOT deals with the resources is that they are actually present at the compile time and they get turned into types. So when I have in my static folder called static, there's a folder called images, there's a folder called news, and in that folder there's a planet.png file that gets turned into the type called images underscore news underscore planet underscore png, meaning that I can refer to that with static r that turns it into the root, and compiler will catch if I mistype it or the resource isn't present during the compile time. And render function will take this root and turn that into a text. It will tell that if you are talking about this type-safe root, in this particular case, the URL of it is this text. And this is something that ESOT does for us. And you can get that render function with get URL render function call. So back to JSON. Now that we have icons, we can go back to the JSONs. So now we have a data transfer object that is completely filled out. It has our news article inside of it. It has our news article DTO inside of it, and it has the icon, and it is the ID that tells where in the database it came from. We need to turn that into the JSON. And I wrote the to JSON and from JSON instances by hand, because I wanted to have a full control of what the JSON looks like, because I want to send nice looking JSON to the client, because it's nicer to work with, and it's just polite thing to do, and not make life of the whoever is writing the client hard. I could have used template Haskell for some of them, because you can, for example, you can write your own function that tells to the template Haskell how the field names are constructed, for example. But I just went and wrote all this by out. I just went and write all this out by hand. I think it's a good exercise to do that once or twice, and when you understand fully how things are working, then you can start looking into template Haskell and thinking that if you could automate this thing. Actually just creating a JSON that has fields ID that contains the ID again, contents that actual news article DTO turned into JSON. Then it has a tag that is just a string that specifies which type of news we are dealing with, so that the client side doesn't have to guess and try to figure out that we have three fields. So what kind of article this might be? It has an icon that is a link to that icon, and it has the star date telling the which date the news article was written. And yeah, so time to put all of it together. So in the handle function, this is the function that actually handles the incoming HTTP request to that resource that we define in the config roots directory file. So it's called get API message R, the name of the rule in the config file was API message R, and the get in the beginning signifies that this handles the get request. And it has two lines. First one is a parenthesis underscore comma underscore comma FID, paren closed, arrow to the left, API require action. This is what does the authentication. It checks that the user has logged in and that they are a member of a faction. If they are not a member of a faction, or if they have not logged in, they will be given an appropriate HTTP response. I think 400 is the correct range. 403, I think, is that not authorized. I don't remember that from the top of my head. And in the body of that response, there's a explanation in a JSON what went wrong. And then the next line is load all messages FID, meaning that we are loading all the messages specific to a given faction. And loading all the messages is basically just reaching over the database. We are loading all the news that are for the given faction and that has not been marked red already, and sort them descending by news date. So the newest ones are returned first. This is the part, this way in the query I have that news dismissed ... and comma false. This is where in the future I want to have a system that instead of controlling if the news has been, news article has been read, instead of controlling that with a single field in the database, because then it's a faction wide, I want to have a bit more logic, so that we are using the identity of the logged in user and reading from a separate table that what entries has this user already marked as a red, and use that information to filter out what data we are returning to the user. But that's for the future. There's so many things to do that some things just have to wait for another day. So these are loaded messages. These are entities. This is a list of entities, and we need. Luckily, we have parse news entities function that we can use to turn these into the parsed messages. Now we have a list of tuples where the first item is a key and the second item is a news article. Then we request the render function. It's a render arrow to the left get URL render. So here's a thing. The parse messages is a the parse news entity is a so-called pure function. It only depends on the data that you are given to it. It's a parameter and it only returns data. It does not do anything else. So that's why we have to use let value equals to that function call. But get URL render is a monadic function, meaning that it has a context on which it works. And that context, for example, contains it can contain whatever has been put into that context, and there's lots of different things and different ways of dealing with contexts. But in this case, the context is used to reach for the configuration that tells in which address this server is running, so that we can have a function that can turn our static root into the actual URL. That's why we are using the arrow to the left here. I would love to be able to explain in detail how the whole monad thingy works, but truth to be told, it's super simple thing. And it's so simple thing that it's awfully hard to explain. Well, there's a gazillion or even more tutorials on the internet all trying to explain what monads are, and most of them are failing horrible because they are using not anecdotes, but they are trying to simplify things, and they are trying to use examples that are not really good examples, and they are, all I'm saying that if you don't understand them, just don't worry, because if you keep using them, someday you'll just realize that these are awfully easy and simple, but they're awfully hard to explain well. And to be able to use them doesn't really require you to understand the theoretical foundations. I don't understand all of that stuff either. I just use them. So now that we have that render function, we can make icon mapper that is used for the user icons, and then we can feed that to the another icon mapper that is used for the these news article DTOs. The reason we are using two icon mappers is that the user-written news have their own logic that dictates which icon to use, and the news article DTOs, there's a different kind of logic, and because the user-written news are part of the news articles, we have to have this two-level structure that together understands how to deal with all these special cases. And here you can see, if you're looking at the show notes, here you can see a good example where the point three style gets into the realm of unreadable code. I'm thinking that I should go back and write this out. Write this out and see, make it more readable, because it cramps so much into one line. It reads as a return dollar to JSON dollar map open parents to DTO comma full stop actually open paren flip, open paren, comma, close paren, open paren icon mapper render user icons, bunch of close parens, parsed messages. So what this does is that it will take those parsed messages, turn them into the first construct tuples out of them, so that you have a tuple of a news entity, icon of a ID and the news article, and then the second item in the tuple is the icon mapper, and then that is fed to DTO, so that you get a data transfer object from that, and then that you turn that into the, you do that to hold list of those articles, and then you turn all of them into the to JSON, and then you return that data to the client finally. Whew, that took a while. So that's basically what happens when you're loading the news articles. And this recording is long enough already, sorry about that. So I can't go into the how the deleting and posting news work. Well, I can go quickly over them. Deleting is basically just you authenticate the user, and then you use the parameter that they passed in as a part of the URL to load a news article from the database. And actually, you don't even need to load a news article. You just delete that news article from the database. Delete the row where the ID equals to that passed in ID, and the faction ID equals to the faction ID of the logged in user. This is because if you are not including the faction ID, the players could be deleting other factions' news, and that we cannot have. Posting a new entry is basically you authenticate, then you read the body of the request that should contain a JSON, and then turn this into the news article. And this is basically a reverse operation to hold the thing that we just went through. And then you save it into the database. And final step is to load all of the entries from the database, turning them into JSON, and return that into to the client. Okay, I think that's about it. If you have any questions, comments, ideas, I would be happy to hear them. And the easiest way to catch me nowadays is either via email. I think that's visible at the Hacker Public Radio page, or at the Fediverse, where I am tuturto@mastodon.social. So, I am Tuukka Turto at Astra.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.